You're listening to Album Swap, a podcast about sharing music with your friends. So, welcome to episode one of Album Swap. My name's Brian McDonald. I'm sitting here with the Fred D's.
The Fred D's. I like that.
The Fred D's Jr. Sorry.
The Fred D's Jr. That's right.
Jr.
That's important. It's how I brand myself.
Yes. Fred D's Jr.
Jr.
And so this is a new experiment in podcasting and music swapping, or album swapping as we're calling it. The concept behind this whole thing is we take two albums and exchange them, and each person gets to listen to a selection that the other person picked. And then we're coming back and comparing notes.
Comparing notes.
Talking about what we liked, didn't like. See if you're interested. So, anyway, the album I picked out for Fred was Electric Light Orchestra's A New World Record.
Or ELO for short.
ELO for short. As the fans call it.
Oh, yeah. As the fans.
The true fans.
Yeah.
So ELO, this album came out, I believe, 1975.
Nice.
Big hit at the time. I remember, fun fact, that it even had a television commercial.
Oh, man. Yeah, really?
Where they, their logo, for those of you who don't know ELO, the logo is very kind of cool. It's almost like this, like, spaceship. But the lighting is almost like a pinball, or no, a jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Whistler jukebox.
It
it's designed off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, the commercial was where the guy takes that as a disc and throws it, like in the Olympics, and it goes really far. And the two guys go and measure it, and they look up, and they say, a new world record!
And that's so cheesy.
And then they showed the album cover, and, you know, Electric Light Orchestra's new album, you know, featuring Telephone Line. So, yeah, Telephone Line was the big hit. But, again, this album I had as a kid, I loved it. It was awesome. I was a big ELO fan. They're, you know, right up there in my top shelf with the Beatles.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Beatles, ELO. Well, and then the fact that Jeff Lynne from ELO did all the work with the Beatles, kind of like, you kind of felt it almost like he was like this unofficial member, but he didn't, it really didn't happen until later.
Right.
But he had that sound, and he was like committed to like kind of continuing their music and all that.
Wasn't he a future Traveling Wilburys?
Yeah. So through the Traveling Wilburys, and then another fun fact. He produced a lot of the Beatles anthology, all those recordings.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So him and Harrison got tight. And if you're going to get tight with someone.
George Harrison was a good one. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
He was a good one to get tight with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Harrison knew the music. He wasn't going to mess around with anybody.
He knew the music. That afro. Jeff Lynne rocked a sweet afro.
Yes.
Shades
the afro. He hasn't aged, you know, amazingly enough.
Scientifically proven. Not aging.
Yes. And then, so I'm going to hand it over to Fred on what he picked.
Yeah, so I picked the most recent studio album from a band that I am a huge fan of, Widespread Panic. It's the band, their most recent studio album is called Street Dogs. It came out 2015. It was their 12th studio album. And it was the first one with their newest drummer. So one of the things that really always kind of impresses me about this band is they've had some pretty significant losses with like Hauser, and then Todd Nance, kind of the drummer, kind of falls off, and they replace him with Dwayne Trucks. Dwayne Trucks is Derek Trucks' little brother and nephew to Butch Trucks, just continuing the legacy, right?
So you've got Jimmy Herring, got Dwayne Trucks.
And Dwayne Trucks is married to Jimmy Herring's daughter.
Fun fact
dropped. Yeah.
It's like a quarter Allman Brothers alumni.
And
family.
And Schools has played with Allman Brothers.
That's right, Schools.
Dave Schools, yeah. The bassist, yeah. played with them plenty of times.
Which I love. Another fun fact, I've seen the Allman Brothers live more than any other band.
Really? How many times?
Like 17 times.
No shit.
Yeah, every year when they played at Walnut Creek, I'd hit them up. And then I even went up to the Beacon a couple times.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. That would be tight.
But just, I mean, nothing but goodness out of that camp.
Yeah, I've seen Widespread Panic more than the other band. Like,
see?
80-something.
80, yeah. Something see, I can, like but that. See, I can't even rack up in the 80s.
Yeah, well, college.
That's crazy. You kids.
Yeah, college. but another cool thing about this album is a lot of their previous studio albums, they would record in different either in different areas or really kind of, you know, silo themselves off, and then you produce it, like, you know, a lot of albums get done like that, get produced like that. But this one, they came to Asheville, and they recorded it where they all sat together and played together like it was a live performance almost. So, like, I think it really, a band like this needs to have those moments of, like, genuine jamming and just, you know, improvisation, really, like things that they do, but you can't really replicate by sitting behind a mixing board, you know?
Well, you know, the challenge for any of these live bands is, you know, how do you capture that sound studio? You know, and if you look at, like, the Grateful Dead, it was hard to do. If you watch any of the great documentaries, you know, where they're, like, trying to capture thick air sound and all that, sure, driving the old Warner Brother engineers crazy.
Right.
And that's why, you know, even with the Allman Brothers, you know, the live albums blow away anything in the studio. The studio is interesting from a original sound and, you know, how the song was first really created and born. But after that,
it can feel manufactured sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely overproduced.
Yeah, and then that naturalness. That's what the bands like the Grateful Dead, Watchmen, Panic, Allman Brothers. That band.
It's tough to put out a good album.
The band from Vermont, that sing about granola and stuff. Oh, Fish. That's right.
Fish. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So I picked this album because I wanted to at least start with this band and start with what I think is the best. You know, one of their better studio albums in general, and kind of like reintroduction with the new lineup, even though they just retired. So, oh well, so much for that. But yep,
more on that later.
That's my pick. Yeah, more on that later. Yeah, sure. Breaking news later.
Okay.
Don't stop listening. Breaking news later.
So those are the discs we're talking about today. ELO, A New World Record, Widespread Panic, Street Dogs. And we'll be back in a minute.
This is Album Swap. At albumswap.net, we will be right back.
So now we're going to dive into Street Dogs by Widespread Panic. And so I did want to tell you this that was really funny with a younger feller that I work with, much like yourself. I abbreviated Widespread Panic by just putting WSP, sure. And he says to me, "Hey man, what's this like WSP Day of Rest shit? You know, all my friends call them Panic."
Nice, that is great.
That's
great to hear.
I kind of gave him the dude response of, "Well, that's kind of your opinion, man."
He's right. Well, you're supposed to do it WSMFP. Mm-hmm. Widespread motherfucking Panic.
That's a little too much. That's like kind of when Grand Funk went to Grand Funk Railroad. There's too much.
WSMFP. Yeah. I've seen somebody at a Panic show wearing a Cam Newton jersey, but rather than Newton, it said WSMFP.
All right, well, see, something like that.
Best Panthers jersey ever made.
But, you know, as far as referencing them.
Sure.
Panic. I gotta explain that, you know, to people that are like, what's the MF part stand for?
They should get that. They should understand that.
Yeah, it'd be selective audiences. More selective audiences.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, like with my parents, I say Panic. I'd rather say Panic.
So, all right, so I'm down with the Panic. So I'm not gonna say WSP.
Yeah, just Panic.
Or The Panic.
I'd rather you say The Panic than Widespread.
Okay.
No, don't say Widespread.
Don't say the W word.
Yeah, just say Panic.
Okay. So, so that was my fun fact during the week. My other fun fact, I'll just give my background on this band. I've actually seen them once, which is rare. You either see them like never, or you've seen them 50 million times like Fred.
50 million times, a little sad, but not much.
I saw them once, I liked them. I actually have their first album, Space Cowboy.
Nice.
I like that, it's a great album. I saw him actually on the Horde. I was telling Fred earlier that I saw him on the Horde, which he wasn't familiar with, but it was kind of like a funky alternative, I guess, to Lollapalooza back in the 90s that Blues Traveler was behind. And they had like Widespread Panic. They had, you know, more than just jam bands. They had like Beck, all sorts of bands. But anyway, I got to see them play at Meriwether Post Pavilion, which is a great venue up in Columbia, Maryland. But again, it was, geez, 37 years ago almost. Jeez. So they only had a little bit of material. Yeah. So I haven't really listened to them much.
A reintroduction then.
Yeah, and I've got several of my friends that are my age that are big Panic fans, and they get to shows, and they're always like, "Hey, come on, you got to go." And I'm kind of like, "Eh, I saw them years ago; they're all right." I kind of heard some of their
so dismissive
stuff in between, and I just I just didn't feel like drawn and like sure. wanted to go.
And there's a lot of music out there.
And it was kind of like maybe I'll see them again. Now I think I have to say that I think I may have seen them actually a bit. They did play, actually, in Charlotte when I lived down there. They had the Center City Fest, and they played two nights, and this is when they were just starting to do that in the late 90s. And I thought that was kind of cool, and again, I'd seen them before, and I think we caught a little bit of them, but I have to admit, it was one of those nights where I saw, like, 20 bands.
Sure.
And maybe had maybe too many adult beverages.
Beers.
Yeah. Gotcha. And shots, gotcha. Maybe. But nonetheless, so yeah, I was kind of interested to revisit the Panic.
And then and a newer lineup, you know, from the first time you really listened to them. Now you've got a different guitarist, a different drummer. They definitely sound different than they did on that first album.
Yes, I would agree. I thought they sounded a lot different. I could tell you my one thing, like probably the one thing I don't like love about them is JB's voice. Like let me say it this way: I don't hate his voice. I'm saying what I'd least like about them.
Yeah, I heard
on
what you
certain
said.
Songs. On certain songs, I think he has a great raspy, bluesy.
You definitely have to like it, though. Yeah,
Some songs, it's just his voice, and I could say the same about other bands that I love. You know, Jerry Garcia. I mean, it had to be the right song, the right key.
But
for
some
them.
People think Jerry's the best vocal low ever.
No,
but some people are just like obsessed.
Well, yeah, I agree.
That's
what
I mean. I mean, you'll meet some Panic fans. Shoot, I remember hearing a guy say years ago that the two vocals he will always love will be Jerry Garcia and John Bell.
So I could see that just from an ultimate fandom standpoint.
And there's something about JB Wellen that there is nobody that can do it quite like him. You know?
Oh, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think he's got his own sound.
Sure.
And like
sure.
I said, I would have to see him probably live a couple times to appreciate it more. Because I'd have to admit, even Jerry Garcia, before I saw them live, you listen to certain, like, you know, Jerry Garcia live tracks that aren't that great.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's part of a whole, you know, ensemble that, you know, people are putting on that set.
Right.
But, you know, nonetheless... yeah, I'd say that's probably what made me never want to go see them that much. Was kind of like it was good, but it wasn't anything. Well, no, I'm trying to be honest. It wasn't anything that really drew me in strong enough. So, so that was like the only thing, you know, that like I came in with a negative bias, and I wouldn't say just you know too negative, you know, just a smidge, I do like the other guys. I do like that they're a band that has other people singing. I think that makes
JoJo's
a huge difference.
Great singer.
I like Jimmy Herring. I've seen him with the Allman Brothers.
Oh yeah,
he's Fayetteville boy. You know,
yeah.
North Carolina represent.
Monterey's up.
I like that they've got another Trucks in the band. You know?
Oh yeah.
So I didn't know that first listening to it. Mm-hmm. I first listened to it and then I went and read up. And that's I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Because especially, like, when you get down to, like, what song is it? It's, Tail Dragger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's got, heavy...
Oh, yeah.
Allman Brothers sound. Which again, I think you get because you have Jimmy Herring playing with them and the other guys that played with them. Yeah, let's
throw it on. Oh yeah, very dirty.
Yeah, like that to me. That's Allman Brothers, Government Mule.
Oh, without a doubt.
But a great sound. I like the keyboards here.
Yeah.
And like we were saying, this is an old blues song, but I think they make it their own.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's really key.
That does sound very Allman Brothers.
I mean, could you imagine if Jimmy and Warren had stayed guitars for the Allman Brothers during, like, their last decade.
Right. Goodness gracious.
Because I'd say that's the one thing that came across on this album is Jimmy Herring.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely does.
You know, especially, like, on the early tracks. You know, Cell starts off real funky. got that kind of New Orleans sound.
I love that song.
I think this would be a good set opener for them.
What? Cell Cell?
Cell Cell.
They did that recently. I think they opened with Cell Cell, maybe around New Year's or something.
Did they? Yeah.
One of those shows, I feel like they started, maybe started a set with Cell Cell. But you're right, it does, because it sneaks in. I guess we'll play some of that.
Play a little snippet from Cell Cell.
Has a nice little kind of limp into it, you know?
Yeah. And then I think, you know, the drums are clear.
Oh, yeah.
You got Jimmy just coming in wailing on the solos.
Funky. The keys are real funky.
Yeah, and then I like the lyrics. I mean, you know, he's pretty political at the beginning of this album. You know, he's saying, you know, sell everything you stand for, tell people what you stand for. So I kind of like that. He's kind of... really echoing what a lot of the, I guess, the unrest is in this country, or not unrest, but displeasure with a certain, you know, segment.
And they're not a political band, but they definitely they've had moments where they'll say what they think and believe. I remember during when Obama was running, JoJo made a point to say something one time, so.
Yeah, and then, I mean, they got Steven's Cat, which is nice. They got Cease Fire, which...
you like Cease Fire?
Yeah, this to me reminds me a lot of Santana.
Okay.
You know, the Congo drums, keyboards kind of creeping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even the guitar sounds like Carlos Santana.
Very Santana, though, yeah. Santana's played with, he's hopped on stage with Panic a couple times.
I know
you can do YouTube that. I think they've got the show or a couple songs up there when he did that.
Respect.
Yeah.
Big Carlos. Time. But yeah, I like this song. This is a great song. Even sounds a little bit like Jerry Garcia at the end of this.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy.
So the guitar is really kind of going with it.
Yeah, I mean...
He just, like, weaves the guitars through, you know? Like, it's just amazing how he just...
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, him and Warren. Warren Haynes, that is.
The North Carolina boy corner is up.
I just think there's not any better rock guitarist really out there that can play the... Warren and Jimmy. I mean, they can play everything. They can play blues. They can play, you know, stuff like this that's got a Latin influence. They can play metal if you want them to, which would actually
be awesome. I'd love to see that. Yeah.
We should write them and tell them to make an AC/DC cover band.
Oh my gosh. That would be great.
You know they want to do it.
Airing metal. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
But again, this has got, I like it's got a little bit of, angry lyrics to it. You know.
Oh yeah. Ceasefire.
That's
Ceasefire
right.
Ceasefire is the name of it.
You know, from here they go into, what is it? I can't pronounce this.
Jamais vu, whatever.
The world has changed. Yeah. You know, this was, you know, nothing great. A little trippy sounding.
Yeah, a little trippy sounding. This song, I mean, I said at the beginning, before we started recording, that this album has one of my least favorite songs they're playing right now. And it's this is the song, when they play it, you immediately... figure out whose turn it is to get beers, and you tell them the number, and they
like
go
that.
Do it now. Or
I
if
like
you have
that.
To pee, you
it's
go
break
take
song.
It. Yeah, you
got gotcha.
This.
Yeah.
This is what you do now. Yeah.
Well done. Yeah, well played.
You can take a break.
All right, so let's skip right through this. Angel Don't Sing the Blues. So here's a song I think actually that his vocals sound really good on. I think, again, it's more bluesy.
It is more blues. The acoustic guitar sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's him singing here. He owns it. He sounds great.
They sound great with that acoustic sound. They did a whole, they did a whole wood tour where they just went around playing acoustic. All the shows are acoustic, and you can tell this was a result of them being like, we sounded fucking great when we were doing acoustic. So maybe, I mean, this is
we should do that more often.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This sounds just like something from that tour. And you're right, his vocals go perfect with it.
Yeah, yeah, I like his vocals here.
So this is one where you don't go get beers, but you figure out who's got the last cigarette and you light that cigarette. That's what you do now. This is like a nice solid middle of the second set. Let's go ahead and rock out and Angels Don't Sing the Blues.
That's true. I could see him going into you could extend the song a lot too.
Oh yeah. You could fit this inside of a song that you break apart with this too, you know?
Come back into it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So then they go into Honky Red. Which I really like this song.
This is a cover. I forgot who did it.
Is this a cover?
John McLaughlin or McLaughlin. Okay. I'm not sure.
I like this, man. It's got a southern metal sludge.
Sludge. Very sludgy. It's very sludgy. That is very sludgy.
Yeah, so this is where I'm holding my lighter in the air. My fingers.
Yeah. And I love that movie.
And then, so again, like the mule. Worn, just that southern rock sludge. Oh, love it. Love it.
Love it.
Eat up the spoon.
Eat that sludge with the spoon.
Yeah. Love me some sludge.
I see JB's vocals sound great on this, I think.
I think it does.
It fits good to that dirty.
Because this has, I mean, the
beauty of like, red clay rose, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Tobacco thing.
Well, you got the word honky in it. It's a racial slur for white people, you know. But nonetheless, I agree. This is almost like something, you know, you would have heard from like Tom Petty around Southern Accents, kind of an anthem song in some ways, like a Southern anthem. And that's the other reason I love it. And that's why you got to have a Southern metal sludge to back it up. Because it's like, you know, you're sweating, man, you're in a field in lower Alabama or Georgia, trying to make it down to the beach. It's tough. But yeah, this song nails it.
This is one they rock this live, really, really good, really good too.
Oh yeah, I do like the lyrics on this where he says like, "When I need a drink, I'm chained to a sink. It's yes, please and thank you, man."
Right? You gotta love that. Of course, I'll just pull Panic up here. Murray McLaughlin, there you go, Murray McLaughlin. Yeah,
there's a fun fact behind that. We need to figure out what that
it's
is.
It's very alliterative. Murray McLaughlin.
But anyway, yeah, love Honky Red. Two thumbs up.
6.5 minutes of just
6.5 minutes. The sludge.
The sludge.
Then they go. All right, so then we got a long title, "The Poor House of Positive Thinking." So, I like this a lot.
We just walked into a hotel bar.
I love this. This is lounge music. This is right up my alley right now.
Hey there.
I don't know who's singing. That's I kind of like that. Not that it's not JB, but it's just somebody different.
That's JoJo.
JoJo's the keyboardist?
Yep.
Mississippi
boy.
Oh, I like that. Really? Where's he from?
He lives in Oxford now.
He's from Oxford?
Lives in Oxford
now. Oxford, Mississippi.
He's not from Oxford, but he does live there now. I'm trying to think where he's from. Maybe we'll get Invisible Producer to
Hey, fun fact,
figure that out.
My sister is a graduate of the University of Mississippi and lived in Oxford.
Really?
For a number of years.
Hotty
yes.
Toddy.
Yes. She probably graduated by the time Panic started playing. Yeah. Anyway. I like this. I like the piano at the end. I like the wah-wah that Jimmy brings in.
Yeah.
That's sick. You know, so definitely stronger one.
So it's like JoJo was a Mississippi born and bred. There you go.
I like that, Mississippi boy.
Yeah, this does. I love how Jimmy still kind of figures out a way to make his sound just kind of drop in here, there, and there.
It's brilliant.
Like that.
Yeah, and it's
then
got,
I was saying just...
It's got drinking as the main theme of the lyrics. I like that.
I like that.
It's a good drinking song.
That's good, yeah. You know. We want to promote as much drinking as possible.
So, yes, The Poor House Positive Thinking. Another thumbs up. I like that track. Then there's Welcome to My World. Which, I like this. I like the harmonica. A rock and blues.
That's some good little southern rock feel to it.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of the Allman Brothers, you know. The Allman Brothers influence So, Butch Trucks? No.
The new drummer?
Dwayne. So he's named after Dwayne.
He's named after Dwayne, exactly.
Yeah, I know. And Butch, you know, moment of silence here. Butch has been
A few weeks. Moment of silence.
Moment of silence for Butch Trucks. Awesome.
All right, nice. That was a good moment. He would appreciate the grooves on most of these.
Yeah, you know,
he would love what his nephews are.
Seen Butch Trucks in concert a lot of times. he's always there. Actually, Jamoe a few times didn't play.
Really?
Yeah, he's sick. And Mark Quihone sat in on the second set.
Quihone, what a fun name to say.
Yes. Quihone. Mark Quihone.
Quihone.
All right, so again, I like this song. I like the harmonica. I'm a big harmonica fan. I thought this was somewhat similar in the guitar, too, to like some of their earlier tracks. I have to admit, I did go back and listen to Space Wrangler again.
Nice, what a great song.
And yeah, I love it. It's great. It's, you know... And I think this is, yeah, see, again, another blues song. His vocals were perfect for this.
They went back to their bread and butter, if you will.
That's why probably his vocals jumped out at me, because some of his vocals starting off are okay. Mm-hmm. But the second half of this album finishes really strong.
Yeah.
And that's a big sign I like. You don't really, you know, I mean, there's only so many albums that, like, every all 10 tracks kick ass, or 12.
Rare.
But I think if you can get, like, 7 or 6,
yeah,
you know, that's a win. It's worth the money.
Yeah,
you got to put down for the full album.
And I think one thing saying that it hurts him isn't the right way of putting it, but you know the ELO record was 30 something minutes. This is 50 something minutes, and you look at the tracks are like, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes. So
true.
So if you do have tracks that aren't the best, sometimes it can hurt your overall feeling towards the album because you spent 6.5 minutes wondering when the next song was going to come up. You know.
All right. So did we already talk about Tail Dragger?
A little bit. All right.
So real quick, Tail Dragger.
It sounds awesome, so we'll at least
You know, what I wrote down here was, ladies and gentlemen, the Allman Brothers.
Right?
Well, again, I love the Allman Brothers, so I love this sound.
Right, the keys.
So, this song also made me remember that I want to go back and find some of the Allman Brothers shows I have that Jimmy Herring sat in on. Just to hear him play slide and lead. Because I have a couple. And then I think I told you I have some couple of Phil Lesh and Friends shows.
With Jimmy
yeah. and Warren.
Sure.
And it's just,
a legend.
So good.
Yeah.
It's just. But yeah, love this. And this brings us to the end of this.
Track 10.
Album, Track 10, Street Dogs for Breakfast. And I have to say, I love this.
I think that's the name of the album.
Street Dogs, Street Dogs for Breakfast.
Yeah, they could afford the extra letters.
That's right. Well, I like having it different. I like a little bit of nuance.
Sure. I dig that.
So this is JoJo?
This is JoJo singing, yep. Well, JoJo is another one. They do give him, they'll give him a few songs. Every album, every show, he'll always have a few. It's hard to beat JoJo.
Yeah,
some of the better ones, Blackout Blues is a JoJo song. So
this is a lot like Poor House of Positive Thinking. I like it even better. I like the lyrics even better, this part. The Street Dogs for Breakfast, Whiskey Sours for Lunch.
Whiskey Sours for Lunch, right? Yeah, I love that. Look, JB doing a little backups there. Even though you hate him.
Yeah. This like is the closest to me of like a Grateful Dead song.
Sure.
Kind of like I Need a Miracle or something like that. You know.
Sure.
But more fun.
Yeah.
Much more. I love the kind of old beer barrel polka piano.
It feels like something you hear in a bar with a guy behind a big piano.
That's what I'm saying.
If
you, if you're a fan of them, you could sit down and play this, and people would be like, you know, what was that? You'd be like, Watch My Band.
Watch My Band, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I dig this track. So, like I said, I think it wrapped up even better.
Sure.
Then I kind of thought going in, and I like that. I like the album getting better as it went.
Yes.
It did. You know, I like that. It made me go back and listen to Space Wrangler again.
Anything that makes you go back and listen to Space Wrangler is a good thing.
Yeah, but I have to admit, in doing that, you know, in the digital world we live in, I go and I look at what they put out since.
Sure.
And you never knew anybody that, like, had commented nicely about those other albums.
Not many people. Yeah.
Yet I understand.
You like a song or two, like you said.
Well, yeah, and knowing jam bands, the albums and the live performances are two different animals.
Absolutely.
So I think for them to be able to bring it together like this was kind of smart, because it may bring in someone like myself who's kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember seeing them at the beginning.
You'd be more inclined to listen to the next
really,
album.
Yeah,
or the next time they come to Raleigh or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like even Phish, I have to admit, I kind of like their albums.
Sure.
I think they were able to capture some cool sounds.
Yeah.
And they had some really good songwriting. You know,
they had their moments for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and they could bring in some people as well and stuff like that. But I was kind of glad to see them have a strong album, because at the end of the day, you do need that somewhat to kind of bring in new fans to the folds. Not everybody's always going to go see a live concert first.
Absolutely.
You might buy the album.
You got to get them in the door somehow. That's how with the passing around live shows, that's how they did it, you know. You're right. Nowadays, it's easier to go on Spotify and listen to somebody's album as opposed to finding their show or having a friend pass you their show. It's not like that anymore. So
they'll skim it too much.
Yes, yeah.
Like I've been, I'll do that. I'll skim it, and it's like I really need to go just like listen to half an hour.
Sure. And this feels like a show almost. It feels like you just listen to a show, even
though, yes, I agree. It's not the variety.
It's not specifically set up like that. It has that live feeling, like, oh, I just listened to a set of Widespread Panic, and it wraps up.
It wraps up with Whiskey Sour for lunch.
For lunch, absolutely.
So yeah, I'm digging it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that wraps up Street Dogs. We'll come back and talk about a new world record.
You're listening to The Album Swap
with a new world record, Electric Light Orchestra,
ELO,
1976, Bicentennial. I mean, that kind of says it all, right?
Big things are happening.
Big things.
Yeah,
big
and
things.
The first record that I know you mentioned the logo early by, what was it, by Kodak?
Kosh.
That's right. Kosh. It was by Kosh. But this was the first record that they used it on the album cover, or on the album, as the album art, and then it appeared a lot more. This was kind of like the record, even though they had a few before, that really kicked them off, right? And this definitely made them
a household name,
right?
And, number, I can't remember if Telephone Line was number one.
I think it was their first top 10 UK hit as far as the album goes, which was big because they're British, right?
They're British.
Yes.
British. I mean, they put out Evil Woman, and
but as far as album, this was their first.
This this was, you know, by 76, it was like album oriented radio. Like you had to put an album out, I think, that, you know, people would want to buy, as well as, you know, had like three or four songs, and this did have like three or four songs that all made airplay, and I think helped that along. There was a lot less of those, you know, singles were starting to kind of fade out,
sure.
So there was a lot less of getting a single.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, at the time, I mean, hell, you had Pink Floyd putting out,
sure,
like, you know, Dark Side of the Moon,
sure,
and Led Zeppelin's putting out Into the Outdoor and all that stuff. So, I mean, it was kind of like that golden age of albums. And that's kind of why I picked it. I was like, you know, this is a hidden gem.
Clean, good, solid. Yeah. I mentioned this, I think, before, but just the whole orchestra part, you know, my notes are littered with love the strings. And then, I finally realized probably the second time listening to the album that, and what, 20 something years of actually hearing this band that, oh, when it says orchestra, we're actually talking about strings being incorporated as part of the band.
Stands for orchestra.
I thought it was just like a play on we're an orchestra, but no, it's, I mean, they really, and they utilize that. The music is composed in a way to really, accentuate the strings, right? To make sure that those strings are one of the parts of the songs that pop and that make you dance and make you want to listen to the song again. You might not catch the first time, but you go back and it's like, oh, it was that one run that the strings did. And that one run is what kind of gets you going back to the song. I just think that's really, really, really dope. And they even, like, with the vocals, the multi-part harmonizing, but they even arranged that like you would an orchestra, like you would string instruments. So it's funny to me, again, that it took this long, but once you have that light bulb moment, you know, it almost gave me a different. I gained a new respect for the band.
You saw it was more than a band.
Exactly. It was more than just a name. I almost thought it was a cheap play on, hey, we're an orchestra, right? But no, it's more than
some funky '70s thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at first it was interesting. If you look,
exactly. It was just some '70s thing. Hey, we're an orchestra, but no, we're an actual freaking orchestra.
And like their early album covers, actually, like the first ELO, and the type is based off of GE and the writing on the light bulb. And the first album cover, I think, has a light bulb.
Sure.
And you know, if you look at the GE and that ELO, the E is pretty much almost the same.
Yeah, it is. Without a doubt.
And that was another thing they kind of took off.
I think that's font, isn't that the word?
Yeah, the font.
Gotcha.
But I mean, you're talking about like seven guys in the band, but then they bring in like another seven people. They bring in opera singers. They bring in orchestral movement people. So there's about 16 people really making this sound, which I think shows.
There's a high level of accomplishment you can hear in their music, right?
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't just clowns. You can't just You can't just get some bar band to come and cover these guys because it's no. I think
you do a tribute band for these guys. You got to get 12 people.
I mean, I think a modern day version of a band like ELO, but that's not quite as poppy, would be like a Snarky Puppy, where you have
Snarky Puppy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the genres are different, but in the same way that they're doing something at a level that people just don't do because they just can't. It's hard to weave orchestral music and at this time like pop rock or whatever, right? Like rock and roll music.
Yeah.
And then with Snarky Puppy, I mean, it's what they do is difficult. So, you know, it's impressive to see a group that big kind of get together and do something that cool.
Snarky Puppy. I like the name of that band.
Snarky Puppy.
I haven't listened. No, I'm going to have to.
So you can see where future podcasts are going. You're going to have
to future podcast.
Breaking news, right breaking there. News, future yes. podcasts. All right. All right, cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into to the album. So right off the bat, I think this is one of the best starts to any albums. Like, Tightrope start, the first minute and 20 seconds, sounds like something like a WWE wrestler could come out to. It'd be good, like, walk-up music for, like, a baseball player. Ladies and gentlemen, it is just fire, and it does start off like probably the first 20 seconds are pretty quiet.
Builds up,
but it builds up to a point, and
it's like a spaceship coming in.
It is like a spaceship coming in. No
it's
doubt.
All kinds of trippy.
Yeah, and it definitely has that kind of I don't know. It has that feel where if I had headphones on all the way up,
it's a headphone show.
Oh man,
four headphones.
Your brain is rattling in your skull.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think it's a gong. I think it was a gong. If they hit a gong.
There is a gong.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah. Here you hear that strings getting ready to come in.
Right. Right there. That is so cool.
Sick.
That is sick.
But yeah, I agree with you, man. The brilliance. Jeff Lynne, like, orchestrates this whole sound. It's like the beginning of a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it does, you're right. Like a score, a movie score.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's a bit spooky, and then it gets into the rock.
It's very spooky. I'm spooked. It's got me spooked. Yeah, and then it drops into it right here. It's basically going to go from movie to Bowie.
Yeah.
That's David Bowie, right? I mean, it's...
And, you know, it's funny, I agree with you, at that time, I remember, like, my sister was all into Bowie.
Yeah.
And she was older. And I knew some of his songs, but I really didn't listen to Bowie. I always thought he was a bit odd. Because his album covers.
Because he was a bit odd, I think.
Were so weird. Oh, yeah, and he was odd. So I was kind of scared of listening to Bowie.
That's kind of odd.
You know, and then, like, as an adult, like, when Let's Dance came out,
sure.
That was, like, the first... I listened to a lot of his music, and actually, when we were talking earlier about MTV, when MTV came out, I watched a lot of Bowie stuff that they were running, like, fashion. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, I never got into him until Let's Dance.
That was the song that did it, huh?
Well, that was, like, the album. That was the first album of his I bought, and it was okay, I'm going to listen to Bowie. It's not as scary as it used to be.
Sure.
And I was like a teenager about that.
Right. You definitely.
Whereas before, I was like 9 years old. Like, ELO was a hell of a lot safer.
Yeah, sure, than Bowie at that point. Sure. Yeah, and no, so I mean, yeah, obviously the Bowie sound. I feel like the Bowie sound just runs throughout the whole record, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next song, Telephone Line. Go ahead and jump into it. I love the Floyd-like use of the actual telephone.
Bowie, Floyd.
Within two songs. That's what I mean. Like, whenever I'm listening to these older records, especially ones I haven't heard before, I feel like I always just tie it back to something I've heard it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, they had to be influenced by what they heard everybody for sure. putting out.
Well, they're probably all hanging out together and, you know, smoking cigarettes and stuff together.
In the studio.
Yeah, okay. Studio 6. Yeah. Yeah, this song, and it, I feel like it has such a Beatles feel to it.
Yes.
Like this part right here, this could be, you could tell me, yes. You could tell me this is Paul McCartney.
This could be on the White Album.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. And then
this was the big hit. This was the first single off.
This was the single off the record, yeah. Right.
So, like, I heard this before I heard Tightrope. Because really? It was on the radio.
Sure.
And then I was like, I gotta get this out.
This is it.
And like I said previously, the commercial. The commercial sold me.
So, was this the song kick-ass playing? Song. This was the song.
You know,
playing.
I can't remember what they played. They might have.
But the commercial's one of the
things. You're gonna have to look it up. Put it in the notes.
You're saying the commercial's one of the things that got you into it, though.
The commercial was really cool.
Look, Ma, they got
my brother was into ELO, and you heard like Evil Woman and some of the other tracks, so they were you had somewhat familiarity.
Sure.
But yeah, this was like the first one I bought, and it was just like, wow, like, you know, it was like a good first album to like become a uber fan of. You
this
know,
was a good first album.
I probably listened to this album.
How Grease is this though? Sorry.
Oh, it is. It's
that is so.
It's got the tie back to rockabilly and. 50s and what
sure.
these guys grew up on, like the Beatles and all
and
that.
And then the next song we go to has a rockabilly feel too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I need my black leather jacket, my hair sock back right now.
Or maybe you're looking like The Clash in 1981.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Or 77 England.
It was Grease, Danny, what's his face?
Danny Zuda?
Yeah, sure. What about that? I don't know.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Such a fun song though. Such a
my
fun
brother
song.
Was in the high school production of Grease. And he played Eugene, the nerdy character.
Oh, man.
And if you know my brother, he did it very well. And I was very proud of him. He did a great job.
That's awesome. That's good.
Which, actually, in the movie, second fun fact.
I'm glad I know that.
80s trivia. You'll win Jeopardy with this one.
Okay.
Lorenzo Lamas played him, I think, in the movie. He played the love interest competitive to John Travolta's character.
Oh, in Grease?
In Grease, yeah, who was trying to woo Olivia Newton-John away from the bad boy.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, Lorenzo Lama, who would then go on to fame in the 80s.
Go on to fame is right.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I digress, I digress. So.
Gotta have our Grease...
fun facts.
Grease fun facts, or it's not a podcast. Yeah, so Telephone Line, love it. I love the Grease feel, the 50s feel. So this record is one that, like, whenever I break it out, there's 9 tracks, and I can pretty much break them into two song segments that I like and I don't like. So going from Tightrope and Telephone Line, love it. Love the songs. They're both fun. Like them for different reasons. And then we go into Rockaria, right? Rockaria, and not just Rockaria, but Rockaria! Because it has
Rockaria,
an exclamation
point.
Exclamation point on it.
Exclamation point.
Just...
All right, so Rockaria was actually the third track released off this album.
Really?
Yes.
And this sound also sounds kind of Bowie like.
Just heard the opera beginning.
Sure.
Right? So they brought in an opera singer, Mary Thomas. And then, yeah, listen, I mean.
Rockabilly.
The vocals right here, I love.
Yeah.
This is Jeff Lynne just belting it out.
And so, I mean, I love this album. And one of the reasons why I love it is because some of the songs that I'm not too keen on, I still think they're good songs. Like Rockaria is one. I don't love this song, but I don't hate it. It's a good song.
Jams.
It's a good song. It just it's a song that lacks a certain punch, is why I don't love it. You know what I mean? But I like it. I can listen to it. Like, and I love the
it's got
the
some classic 50s sound to it.
Like that chord
right
progression is so sick right there.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah. That.
He has the lyrics about classical music here.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And then you come back into the vocal of the opera.
Yeah, nice.
And I think that's what made it unique, you know, than a lot of, say, rock of the day. They brought in this opera singer.
Like,
and then go into this sure. jamming kind of like rockabilly
Queen,
right? song.
Kind of
yeah,
Queen
got a lot like
that,
Queen.
Yeah.
A lot like Queen at the time. Like, you know, British.
Rockaria, though.
Rockaria, yeah. You, you know, you can do it without the exclamation point. But,
exclamation
you know,
point. They want you to really exclaim
it. It's a high-energy song.
Rockaria. Yeah, it is. It's a good song. It's a good song. But, again, it's not one I'm that too keen on. And then going into the next one, Mission, parentheses, a world record.
A world record. Title track, sort of. Kind of like the Street Dogs. Not really the same title track
right.
album.
Song.
I like that.
Oh,
different.
Two similarities between
two
the albums.
Similarities.
That was in...
fun fact.
Reasons. We didn't play that.
Yeah, Discovery is fun.
Genius
fact.
Recognizing genius.
That's right.
I feel like this song, again, Bowie. I feel a little Bowie again,
yeah.
you know? Just the one thing, so I mean, I know I say Bowie a lot. This song reminds me of Bowie, but it lacks that certain, like,
eerie
kinda,
vocals.
No, like that kind of like that pop that Bowie's that
yeah.
Bowie had, and some of their other song had. Kind of like how I was saying about Rockaria, like it's a good song, but it lacks something that really gets me excited about the song.
Yeah, this is probably their most mellow song,
sure.
In my
yeah.
opinion, like I would say for me, it's probably one of the I put it towards the bottom.
Yeah, it's something that's good. It's
got
just,
some cool
it's not,
sound
not
effects.
Something, not something to write home about. You know?
Yeah, it's a nice break actually, kind of after Rockaria. You know,
sure.
you got this. And it's got like this, like the full sound.
Absolutely.
Great
like,
Beatles
right now,
ask here.
Like right now, this is a good part. This is
yeah.
an enjoyable part of the song. But again, the whole as a whole,
yeah.
as a whole, I, you know.
Yeah, this to me sounds like.
It's a transition track, right?
Like the second half of Abbey Road, almost. You know.
Sure. It's nice. I want to go. I'm gonna go lay in a field. I'm gonna go lay in a field with flowers with my sunglasses on.
Yeah.
And watch. Look at the clouds change. That's
now this actually is the best part of the song right here, of the bass.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God, sorry.
Technical.
Yeah, technical mess up, but yeah, no.
Wait. I'll stop and we'll
No, that's fine, that's fine. That's,
right.
that's,
oh, we can cut it
that's the song that we can skip to the next one.
So fine.
Now, this is like, when I first listened to this album, this was one where I was, this is my favorite track on the album right now.
This is a great song.
Right? I mean, right from the beginning, you're moving.
Acoustic.
Right? That bass?
Strings.
Right? Strings.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, that bass line is disgusting. And it builds to a point here coming up where it goes, it breaks down. Remember that the drum section coming up? Love the vocals here too, right? Yeah, you want to stand up?
Yeah. That's brilliant. This is definitely one of my favorite songs on this. You can always like put this song on and just be like
right.
grooving fast. And yeah, great lyrics.
Great lyrics. Definitely
just
has
happy.
One you just want to get on the. You just want to start walking down the street with a big boombox.
That's right, man.
And sing
exactly.
to people.
Exactly.
They, they'll come out of their apartments and start getting behind you dancing as you're singing the song.
And people be like, hey, is that the new year long?
Yeah. And I'll be down there with Jeff Lynne's afro and his shades on with a boombox and bell bottoms.
You know, the real shame is Jeff Lynne could probably walk through a certain space and like people wouldn't know who
people
he was.
Know, yes,
but they should.
They should
be like, that's
they know him.
Freaking
they
Jeff
just
Lynne.
Don't know it's him.
I know. His fingerprint is on like half of rock and roll.
Yeah, right? They owe him so much.
I think he's done fine. You know,
oh, he's done just fine.
He's probably been able to do it his way.
He's done so fine. No, here's the breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is brilliant.
Now, this is just so wicked. And how it comes back into the song is sick too.
Conga drums,
right? And just out of freaking left field.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a cool left field they just pulled it from, but it's left field.
And a little synthesizer.
Yeah,
here.
It's a like you know they had to be like Jess McSmoking smoking weed again. Whenever he just threw this, and we're gonna throw this in the middle of the song.
But yeah, and then the guitar.
Builds,
oh yeah, yeah. It builds back up, which again, you know, that's why it's an orchestra.
Yeah. And it comes right back into it. Yeah. Well, I love that. Yeah. And so I'm gonna pause this song just because I want to jump to a certain point. The transition.
Yes.
So I'm just gonna jump to the end. I'm gonna jump to the end of the song.
Jump
so,
around.
So this transition. I mean, this isn't like a concept album, right? So, like, it doesn't really tell a story.
Well, it is a new world record.
Sure, sure. But, like, So Fun and Living Thing, which is the next track, the way that they go together and transition into each other, it feels like one big story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's where it does kind of have, like, that rock album and concept album to it. And that's what I do. I agree with you. Like, the second half here, it gets a little more concept-y, but it really doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly.
But it's pretty kick-ass.
It has
for
that
this,
feel, even
this
though it
little three-song mark.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, so I'm going to jump here with just the last couple seconds.
Yeah, jump to the end.
And this is the end of So Fine. So, yeah, this is the last, we've got about 8 seconds, and it transitions here into Living Thing. So cool.
Transitions down to Byron.
Right.
It's like something out of
like
a mafia movie.
Yeah, you get transported somewhere else immediately within 2 seconds.
I love
notes.
The vocals here too. It's kind of echo.
Little trumpet, no big deal. Just slide that in there.
And then this is their classic sound.
Yeah. And that acoustic guitar, right?
Oh.
That's another Beatles feel. Almost an Eagles feel, kind of. Especially when the vocals come in together, kind of has that Eagles feel.
Yeah, this is one of those tracks that, like, I thought, you know, he really captured the sound of the Beatles. We're, like, leading up to, you know, that was the crappy thing about, like, 1976. Like, you really wanted a new Beatles album, but you knew it wasn't going to come around. So you had, like, Wings.
Exactly.
And, you know, and George Harrison was putting out some good stuff. Ringo actually put out some good stuff. John did, and then, you know, went away.
Right.
So you're mostly stuck with Wings.
mostly stuck with Wings.
So then, like, ELO comes along, and you're like, well, this gives me more than, like,
close enough.
Paul doing love songs with his wife.
Right.
Which kind of got boring after a while. I mean, no disrespect to Paul McCartney. Love him. But, you know, some of Wings, like, silly love songs, some of that I can do about.
Yeah. I'm over it. Yeah, so, Living Thing. Not Living Thing.
Living. Which for
living.
A British band, very
living.
Avant-garde.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
But yeah, brilliant.
So next song, so this is probably my least favorite song of the album, Above the Clouds.
Yeah,
I just, mellow. It's, right, it's like, this is, I don't know, I call them transition tracks. Like, we're just trying to move to the next part of the album. It's the shortest track, two minutes.
This has,
more,
this
more
has
two
a,
minutes.
Again, the orchestration that comes in at the beginning. I kind of love the
it's
beat.
It's a very ELO sound to start
Yeah, it's
with,
very
right?
ELO sound.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like a dance song, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right here.
Oh, for sure. See, and like I think I know I said it earlier, but even the songs I'm not too keen on,
they're brilliant.
Yeah, like I still like this song.
Yeah. I agree. It's a very mellow song, but it's a beautiful song.
Right,
like the stuff like that he brings in. And then you got the clouds coming in, you know, the whole spaceship. See, that's what I'm saying. This is like the end of your arc, almost. Like, okay, now we've come back down to Earth.
Sure.
You've kind of gone on this little mini weird voyage.
Sure, yeah.
Goes out in outer space, comes back into, like, 1950s rockabilly, and then goes back out to outer space.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, let's just go to the next one. And the next song is about...
So now this is another track that was a release.
Oh, like one of the singles?
One of the singles.
Yeah.
Do ya? Which, I mean, I'll just tell you this.
We're abbreviating.
Do ya does not screw around.
Do ya did not screw around.
Do ya does not screw around.
Go ahead and start Do Ya. Thin Lizzy. It's the first thing I think about.
Yes.
That guitar.
Yes.
Even the vocals. Just that's a little, got a little meanness to it. A little snarl. I'm snarling a little bit when I listen.
You are snarling.
Snarling. Currently snarling.
So.
That's fun. Let's go. We need to go get the car after this. Windows down. Do you plan?
This is like 1970s.
Like, we're pointing and winking.
Movie.
Yeah. Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. I'm surprised it hasn't been used more.
Yeah.
No, it rocks.
It rocks. And it rolls.
So this was, let's see, this was actually a 7-inch single. Oh wait, no. This is the wrong. There's
say that doesn't seem like the right one.
That's not the right
one. Yeah, no. So this, I mean.
Oh wait, this is a cover song. That's right.
I mean, again, this song hits you pretty quick with the familiar parts. I mean, everybody's pretty much heard this song, you know. It's a classic. This is a classic.
And I like his vocals here. They're just heavy.
Oh, you know? Has a Queen feel.
Got that Queen, old school rock. And then just that blistering kind of guitar.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I love.
Classic ELO song, classic ELO sound.
And then it builds back up again.
Oh, yeah. Let's fire up the Mustang. Go.
That's right.
Drive around,
we gotta go cruise. We gotta go down to the arcade.
Yeah, go to the arcade.
And play some Atari.
Play some Atari. Pinball. Sure.
You wouldn't have Pac-Man then.
Nope, not yet.
Centipede
was not around. So we're gonna get to the last track now, Shangri-La.
Shangri-La.
Shangri-La. And this song is the longest track. I think it is the longest track on the album. But it's so. It's beautiful, number one. But it feels like such the perfect, like, goodbye track. You know what I mean?
Kind of rounds it out.
Like the one of the last times I listened to the album, when I got to this track, it felt like you are in slow motion going from member to member and saying goodbye at this house. And then you go and you get into your family's car. And as Mama and Papa drive you away, you turn around and you're looking out the back window, waving to ELO as they all, with Jeff Lynne and his afro and shades in the front, wave back to you.
I could see us making a video out of this.
Yeah, to Jeff Lynne, you know,
I mean,
if you're listening, maybe we can do that.
Yeah, Jeff, if you give us rights, permissions, we'll make...
All we need, you can just
we'll
send
make
us
a video
of you waving, and we'll make a video.
Retro.
Yeah, just send us a video.
Get some 50s cars.
That'd be great. Oh, yeah.
I agree. It's very, again, it's got that doo-wop.
Yeah,
kind of
just
sound.
But a great, like, final track. It ties it up.
Actually, he mentions the Beatles here, I think.
Does he?
Yeah.
There you go. The Beatles on the day. There you go.
I think they mentioned Hey Jude later. I can't remember. I have to go back and read the lyrics.
But the vocals, I mean, the harmonies just sound so damn good.
Yeah, and then again, that's that Jeff Lynne touch that he wasn't going to release something unless it sounded that tight, that flow, the harmony, the melodies.
Again, this their sound has a certain level of accomplishment with it. It's stuff that most people cannot do.
It does not suck.
It does not suck. So yeah, I mean, love the album. ELO, a band that I've listened to my whole life and never really knew. So this was kind of, it was more of an introduction to the actual band than like the, just like the high level stuff. Exactly. Than like the greatest hits that you hear.
I've heard half of this on radio and another half may or may not be good on that.
And the cool thing about this record is it has some of those hits, but then it has a lot of the other stuff that you're just kind of blown away and impressed by. So
it's a tight collection of songs.
Tight collection of songs. ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. That's what ELO stands for. A New World Record. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for our Grammy picks at the end of the episode.
So we're rating them. So
we're rating.
From 1 to 10... You can use fractional decimal points, whatever the correct term is.
Fantasy rules apply.
Fantasy rules apply. Yes.
So I would give Straw Dogs by The Panic.
Street Dogs.
Street Dogs. Sorry.
Oh god! So this is gonna be bad. You didn't even get the album name.
Sorry.
This is
it's because we were so deep in ELO.
Yeah. This is gonna be a terrible review.
I had to get my head out of the clouds.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'd give it like a 7, 8, 7, 9. You know,
nice,
I liked
okay.
it. There's a couple tracks I really liked. It's strong. Like I said, it got me kind of interested in going back and maybe seeing them or listening to them some more.
It was enjoyable. It wasn't like, yeah. You
it was enjoyable.
You enjoyed it more than it impressed you.
I like the sing-along songs. Like, I like a couple of songs I like enough that like I'd want to listen to those over a long period of time.
Sure.
You know, and that's the test.
You could pull a couple of them out and put them on a playlist.
Put them on a playlist.
Yeah. Honky Red, Street Dogs for Breakfast. Those are playlist worthy songs.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think I would probably end up giving it something similar to that if I was just judging. It's one of their better ones, but I think, like we were saying, off the air. That's an industry term, off the air.
That's right.
We were I mean, I think I would say that just about every single live show they play is better than most albums they've ever done.
Yes, and I would agree with that. So again, for
go check PanicStream.com if you want to check out more about Widespread Panic. PanicStream.com. You can listen to every show they've ever done.
I'd probably even give them another bump on that, just because, like I said earlier, it's hard to do a great studio album for a band that's really more of a live repertoire.
Yeah.
I'd have to give like 3-4 points.
Oh, we're winning it. People are going to really question
you. But I don't know. I got to check my Vegas line first. Yeah. Well, all right, no, I'll stick with the original.
That's fine. We'll take
strong, strong effort for a live jam band.
So watch for the Panic Street Dogs. Brian gives it a 7.8.
Yes.
All right. So ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, for those keeping score, a new world record. So I thought about this a lot because I was going to give it more in like the sevens range, but I really like this album. So I personally enjoy it. I think it's impressive. Like I think it's like incredibly well done on like for a lot of different reasons. And so I was going to give it the sevens, but I felt like that was more, oh, this is the first rating, so I'm gonna almost punish it because it's the first. And I said, and this is me talking to myself in the mirror, I said, nope, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to give it what I think, and that's going to be an 8.6. And beautiful. Yeah, and I almost want to even give it more than that, but I feel comfortable with the 8.6. All right,
8.6. It was These good. Are the first.
I liked it. I was impressed. It felt like, I'm not, a Pilsner isn't my favorite style of beer, but I like a Pilsner. This would be like one of the best Pilsners I've ever had. Like, man.
Like
I could drink it anytime. Like
a Miller High Life?
No, yeah, like a Miller High Life, just like that. But just like, I could listen to it anytime. It's enjoyable, but it's not always going to be my go-to. However, it will
it's
be
in the catalog.
One that I go to.
Yeah.
Oh, boom.
I love that. Boom.
Put it on a shirt, write it down. Yeah, so 8.6, that's mine for Yellow.
So you might have just blown the studio up right there.
It's blown up.
All right, so that's our opinions.
Wrapped
Tell us what you think.
With the bow on it.
With the bow.
Adios.
Here's our Grammy Album of the Year picks.
Okay, so tonight's the Grammys. I think it's like, what, the 57th or something?
59. I think it's a 59.
59.
59, Luke Kuechly, go Panthers.
Yeah, go Cats.
That's a Panther grill. We have a live Panther in studio.
Keep that Panther away. So, for Album of the Year, since this is Album Swap, we're going to look at Album of the Year.
Read the nominees.
The nominees are Adele with 25.
And that's the number 25.
Number
it's not
25,
spelled out.
Exactly.
It's just the 2 and the 5.
25.
Cordelia Tankersley, go Tigers.
40 y cinco.
There you go. Spanish.
Purpose by Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Haven't heard it. Don't know it. I have heard Adele. The next
to
is
all,
Views.
You've listened to all of 25?
Yeah, I think I bought it for my wife and kids. Okay, I kind of like the whole release she did with it.
Sure.
It's nice. Views by Drake.
Respect the game.
Haven't heard it.
It's good.
Lemonade by Beyonce. I've heard some of it on the radio.
Sweet and tart at the same time.
Sweet and tart. Like tart lemonade. And sweet. Like a 7-Up.
Like lemonade.
Like lemonade.
There you go.
No iced tea, though.
No iced tea. Not this year.
And then A Sailor's Guide to Earth by Sturgill Simpson.
Electric. So good.
So good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Incredible. Incredible.
So my pick, again, being poorly informed listener, I'm going to go Fidel just because I just think she's fabulous.
She is fabulous. She is fabulous. Hello. Adele's a good pick. My pick, so this is like the pick that I want to win and then the pick that I think is going to win are two different. I want Sturgill Simpson to win. I think that album is just, it's incredible. You haven't listened to that? Have you not listened to that?
I'll have to. No, I haven't. Like I said, I don't listen to a lot of new music.
Wait,
hence
teaser,
the podcast.
Teaser, that's going to be on your list for
that's right,
podcast.
That's right. I'm ready.
It'll
wetting my appetite.
It'll blow your boots off, man. It's a great album.
A boot blower offer.
Yeah, it's a boot blower offer. But no, so that would be my pick, but I think that Lemonade Beyonce is going. I don't see how that does.
I that's safe bet.
How does that not win?
She's huge.
Yeah. She is.
She's bigger.
She's bigger than the world.
She's bigger than ELO was in 1975.
Who runs the world? You know what I mean?
That's for sure.
Beyonce runs the world. But yeah, so I'd love to see Sturgill Simpson win, but.
You have been listening to Album Swap. Visit albumswap.net for all the latest episodes.